And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Dr. Bob Carriker, who is head of the UL Lafayette History Department and director of public history studies here, and two graduate students in the program, Claire Robbins and Eric Scott, here to talk about one of their latest projects called Acadiana Historical, which they have unveiled to the community over the past few weeks in various communities. And so we thought it might be a nice thing to let more people in South Louisiana know about that project. But before we talk specifically about Acadiana Historical, Bob, tell us about that public history program in the history department. It's a pretty comprehensive program and a very active one. Obviously, a lot of graduate students are drawn to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. Thanks for having us here this afternoon. It's really nice to be able to kind of use this as an opportunity to let people know some of the interesting things that are going on. The public history program was started in 1997. And, you know, basically what public history is it is the application of history outside the classroom, right? So typically when people think of the work that historians do, they think of them in teaching roles. And that's a really vital and important role for historians to work in. But it's not the only role that they can work in. And so there are all sorts of areas outside of the academy where historians work. But you have to train people to work in those places because they require unique skills. And so the public history program is an MA program, and students focus on things like historic preservation or history museums, working in a history museum, historic sites, business applications of history, archival practices, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you've explained that, because I think you're right. There are a lot of people who, like when you mention studying English, they think only of a teacher correcting their grammar. With history, they may think only of a teacher who demanded that they know a certain battle.
Correcting
their facts and their dates and everything. But really, as you mention all of these various areas that historians work in, we're all aware of those. We've all been to public sites. We've all been to museums. We know how important it is to have evidence of public history where people can access it easily. But somehow we don't think about that.
Right.
That someone has to study to do
that. Yeah, exactly. And also you have to realize that it takes a different perspective in your studies to function in those realms most effectively. And so that's what we do with the public history program. And we've got some really talented people that we've brought in to work in the program. John Troutman, and I think you're going to be talking with Dr. Troutman
about another aspect.
About another project that we have going on. We just hired a new digital historian working in digital realms, as our project is that we're going to talk about today. But anyway, Thomas Covan. And we're really doing some neat things and providing some neat opportunities for students.
So were you part of the group that started this program here at the university? You mentioned it started in 97. Were you here at that time?
Right. Well, that was the reason that I came here, was to begin the public history program.
Okay. So your background is in public history.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but that is that image we do have of some scholar at a university who's writing books or writing articles, going to conferences, but we're not thinking about the kind of training it does take to create all of these other needs we have for knowing and encountering our history. So you came in and started the public history program and began creating these ways for students like Claire and Eric to not just be in a classroom, but obviously be out in the public. So what were some of these areas that you had begun instituting? And this is one of your latest, the Acadian Historical.
Right. We've been doing this for a long time. We've done projects like an oral history project with some folks in Rain, having to do with the Mervine Kahn department store. We've worked with some local museums, the Lafayette Museum, the Acadian Village. But we were really fortunate because one of our graduate students left the department a large gift, Jamie Gilbo. And the department as a whole and the university also as a unit has seen the value of public history. And so we've directed some of those resources into projects that cost money that we otherwise wouldn't really have. And so we've really kind of in the last year entered a new phase where we're able to, where we have the resources to do the sorts of things that really elevate the learning opportunities that we're able to provide to the students.
So you're going beyond just sending these students out to do an oral history of, say, a department store, very important one.
Right.
You're creating other ways to get that information out into the public.
Right, and we're able to bring the resources to those projects that we otherwise might not have, right?
Okay.
We don't have to work on the same shoestring budget that might limit these things otherwise.
Right. So tell us about Acadiana Historical. What is the idea behind that project?
Yeah. So it was 2 years ago that I was at a conference and somebody was presenting on this platform. We've built Acadiana Historical on a platform. So we've kind of partnered with another university.
A virtual platform? You're talking about computer?
Right. Yeah, exactly. A virtual platform, a software platform. And so they were presenting on this, and I thought, my gosh, that is such a neat idea. And it kind of merged with some ideas that I had wanted to pursue otherwise, but it was just staring me in the face. And I thought, we really need to bring this to Lafayette, to UL, and to Acadiana. And so so we started the process of that. And what it is it is a software program that allows us to geolocate places of historical or cultural significance and to tell their stories in a really neat way, because you can do it by bringing people to the physical location, because Acadiana Historical is a website that has a map where the stories are located on the map. But it is also a mobile platform where people can download this to their Apple smartphone device or iPad or to their Google Android device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they can interact with these stories from the convenience, right, of their computer, or they can go into the field and actually stand on the place where this historic event happened, where this historic person, made a difference in their community. And they can see the story, they can read about it, they can hear about it, they can watch a video about it, they can pull up historic photographs that are connected to that site. So it's really neat.
Well, so it's kind of like, and I'm sure, again, many people in our audience have been to a museum or some historical place, and you get those little, devices that you can walk around with, and it does tell the story.
Right.
But here it's not connected to an actual organization. It's just connected to the community.
The community. Right, exactly. And that is the power of it. And what we say is that it allows us to curate the environment, right?
Curate the environment. That's a great phrase.
Yeah.
You can curate South Louisiana,
you can.
Louisiana, and you can do it with whatever device you have.
Right.
You're not connected to somebody else's little headphone device.
Exactly. And you're not connected to all sorts of restrictive parameters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can put in stories of tremendous historical significance, and you can put in stories of very local historical significance. And they all, they all in this platform have the same value, and that is to bring our stories together.
And I'm sure it's striking people, though, that when you say curate the environment, you're not talking about a very enclosed space like Vermilionville. You're talking about a huge environment. So you have to start from somewhere. And you mentioned that you've had these meetings in some communities where mm-hmm. your students have been doing work. And I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, finding themselves fascinated by this project. My guests are Dr. Bob Carricker, who is head of the UL Lafayette History Department and director of this public history program that they have in their graduate program, and three of his graduate students, Eric Scott, Claire Robbins, and Annie Mahoney, who have been putting together elements of this Acadiana Historical that we will all be able to tap into at some point. And I think you already can for some aspects.
You can. You can tap into it right now online by going to acadianahistorical.org. And from there, you can find a link to download this to your smartphone device if that's what you want to do. Or you can just utilize it you know, on the web. But it's an ongoing project, and it will be a multi-year project.
Right, you're going to keep adding sites.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what we really want to be doing right now is kind of looking at the individual tours that the graduate students, Eric and Claire and Annie, and there's another student who's working on this, Meredith, but she's not able to be here this afternoon, to look at the projects they're working on. But also to let people know that it's there, and one of the coolest things that we can do is that we can document and locate on these maps places that we might not otherwise recognize or know of as being historically significant.
Someplace where, say, the house is gone or other markers are gone, but people can know that geographically they're right there, but you can show photographs and other information about what used to be there.
That's right. And that there would be no other way for people in the broader community to maybe realize or recognize that. Mm-hmm. And we can do that with this. Mm-hmm. We're friends with Shane Bernard, who is the archivist down at the Tabasco Company. And he's a really impressive historian. He is providing some content here for Acadiana Historical. And the story that he's telling through this platform is of Club Showboat. And just in a nutshell, what it is there used to be a club on a paddle wheel going up and down the Teche. Now, it's gone. It was there in the 30s and the 40s and maybe the 50s, I forget. And there's nothing left of it, really, to speak of. But the location of where this thing docked is still there, and there are some physical reminders of it. So we can place this on the map and bring in the historical photographs, do
some
an explanation
music,
of it, some music that may have been played on there, and we can create, you know, a marker that will last, you know, as long as we last.
and it's your own guided tour. Wherever you want to go in South Louisiana, you mm-hmm. can bring this with you, either as an app on your device or your computer if you want to look it up ahead of time.
Right.
So this is acadianahistorical.org that we're talking about. You can go there and check that out now and see the tours that they do have up and the structure of it. So we do have three graduate students with us from the Public History Program here at UL Lafayette, and they're all working on different tours, I guess, different sites. Maybe we can start with you first, Claire. Where are you from? How did you get to this program?
I am from Tennessee, and I was looking at programs, especially in Louisiana, for public history, because I just always really liked this area. And this one stood out to me.
Y'all just are doing your work,
right? Well, it's a team effort.
Opportunities and whatnot.
Yeah. So you're attracted to Louisiana, and this seemed to offer you a really great opportunity mm-hmm. to be trained in public history and to do interesting work. So, what is your job on this Acadiana Historical project? What are you studying and working on?
The tour I'm creating is about plantations in Acadiana, and I'm just collecting all these different sites and comparing. Mostly plantations in Acadiana versus the ones on River Road. Because, like, when you think of plantations in Louisiana, you think of, like, those huge ones on River Road. But that there were also ones here in the Lafayette area. And I want to compare those two. And I also one of the great things about this that Dr. Carricker was talking about is that you can point out things that aren't there anymore. And I'm pointing out a few plantations that no longer exist. One of those is Belgrove Plantation over in the White Castle area. And this plantation was huge. It was bigger than Nottoway. And in the 1950s, it just burned down. But one of the interesting things I'm seeing about this is there's like a community that follows this and really is interested in this plantation. There's like a Facebook page you can like, and just like a discussion board online. And this plantation burned down over 60 years ago, and people still remember it. So I'm doing things like that with places you wouldn't know exist.
The mythology is very, very strong. And you're connecting. When I went to the site, I found it very interesting, of course, especially with the movie 12 Years a Slave has just come out. And you all have the site of the fourth house, I guess, where he was.
Right.
I don't know if that comes under your plantation project.
It doesn't come under the work that Claire is doing. That comes under the work that Meredith is doing.
Okay.
Meredith isn't here this afternoon. Meredith is from Bunky. She has for a long time now been interested in the Solomon Northrup story, long before it became a Hollywood passion for the moment. And so this is providing her an opportunity to work on something she's always been really passionate about, and that is that Solomon Northrup story. And so she is documenting 12 different sites that have to do with him. And, they're going up on Acadiana Historical. They will be combined together as a unit. And in the language of the app, when we combine them together as a unit, we see that as a combined tour.
But a wonderful way to connect the popular sense of what's happened in this area to the reality of the spaces and what little artifacts are left. But when you talk about so many people following Belgrove that burned, but the mythology is still very strong for so many places that no longer exist, and you're able to create a reality for them.
Yeah, and people have a deep connection to these. And there are a lot of old photographs that you can just show on the app and be like, this is what it used to look like, and now there's nothing there.
And to be standing in that exact place. I mean, it's interesting to sit at my desk and look at these pictures, but I can only imagine having your pad, you know, or a phone with you, and you're in that place and you can see those photographs. And, of course, you can use sound as well, so whatever recordings you might have that go along with it. So Belgrove is one of the plantations that you're showing. What are some of the others that you're...
There are lots that I'm looking at. One of the other ones I'm looking at that's closer to Acadiana or closer to Lafayette is the Darby Plantation. And this one also burned down, but it was rebuilt out of the same materials, or they tried to use as close as possible. And that one was just like a smaller plantation that's more typical of like what you would be seeing here. And it's just – it's a nice project.
So is some of your work up on the website yet?
My work is not on the website yet.
But this is going to be rolling out over the coming
in
year.
In 2 weeks, mine will be.
Right. Okay, well, actually, last semester, these same students were working on this project. So really fortunate because we've got some carryover, and that's how you get good work done, right? You get good people and then keep them on this project. And all three of them here – added properties that are on the National Register of Historic Places in Lafayette Parish to the app. And so that was our first foray into this, and now we're expanding it with these more personalized projects that they all selected themselves.
Right. And when you mentioned going into the communities over the past month, you've gone into some of these communities where you've created projects and tours already.
Right.
Okay. Well, Eric, tell us about your work. You can pull that microphone over a little bit. Are you from this area?
No, I'm actually from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Right.
I first heard about UL Lafayette from a former professor of mine, Dr. Michael Wade, who received his PhD from the university back in, I think, the 70s or so. And so I wanted to study public history, took a look at the program, and it seemed like the place to go. And it certainly was a great choice. So this semester I'm working on a project that is going to identify and expound upon the public art in Lafayette, such as the monuments and sculptures like the Mouton Monument downtown, the Lafayette Monument, the Evangeline Sculpture, Mrs. Rosie's Bar, Miss Rosie's Bar, I believe it is called, the Al Laverge sculpture that was salvaged from New Orleans. It was first displayed in 1984 during the World's Fair, and then it was left to rust. And I think in 2007, somewhere around there, the city of Lafayette decided to bring it to.
Well, I think just right there, you've already educated us in a number of things we didn't know. Because I think public art is not something that really comes right to our the fore when we think about art in Lafayette, mm-hmm. but it is there, as you said.
It's, oh, yeah.
You know, we may not notice it, but there's probably more than we think there is.
Well, the idea for this tour actually came from a member of the community who posted the suggestion on our Facebook site, which we would like many other people to do as well. Mm-hmm. We are open to suggestions, and we would like to involve the community overall in developing further content for the app. But yeah, my project is going to also look at the murals downtown painted by Robert Dafford, kind of bring in more dimension into the whole process and inspiration by that, such as the mural across from Dwyer's, To All That Remains mm-hmm. is a Postcard. Mm-hmm. He told me that behind that was the whole idea of the disconnect between humanity and nature and civilization and nature, I guess you could say, and that we only really know what we know about nature through secondary sources and pictures, and so that one day all that's going to remain is a postcard.
So you're very fortunate with Robert Dafford. He is with us. He's still creating art. Look like you can put music, say, for the Showboat piece. Can you put snippets of interviews, perhaps, with artists?
Oh, yes, certainly. You're hoping certainly. To Just include as you can that. Put a video on an entry for a tour, mm-hmm. you can put snippet from Dafford.
So if we went to the Acadian Historical Site for your project, they might see public art tour, Lafayette Public Art
yes.
Tour?
Yes, it would be Public Art of Lafayette would okay. be the name of the tour.
So you could click on that and you would see all of the sites that you're mentioning mm-hmm. and all of the sites that we could ostensibly go and visit in
yes.
this community. So you can find the site geographically with the help of this platform mm-hmm. and go there. And once you're there, you click on, say, the statue. The Mouton statue in downtown Lafayette, and what might you see? What are you hope, Mark?
Well, I'm hoping to be able to. No, not yet. Mm-hmm. Hoping to just give some more context as to why it was erected, when it was, who built the statue, and then obviously just provide some historical information about mm-hmm. Mouton himself. That way, people, you know, mm-hmm. get a little further knowledge of what is being commemorated in their community.
Right. You know, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, individuals really enjoying this, but I can also imagine teachers really mm-hmm. making use of this project and the apps to take their students on field trips.
Right.
You know,
and right, because it becomes a tour for them mm-hmm, and the content mm-hmm. is provided.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as Eric was saying, these tours aren't up yet. We have content on the website, you know, on Acadiana right. Historical, but the students are working on these tours this semester, and they're going to launch them the first week of December.
Well, you're making people very eager right now for the launching of these. I can hear
people
think of people listening out there going, yes, I want to go to those statues and find out more about it, because they are a mystery. Mm-hmm. So much of it is a mystery to us, you know, and sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we know something may have existed there. Or we see a statue and there's no information there. So your project is really going to reveal so much to us about our local history.
Certainly.
So right now you're working on the public art project in Lafayette. Is there something else that you're interested in working on while you're a graduate student here?
I actually haven't put that much
thought. It's probably taking a lot of your time.
Yeah, right now this one kind of mm-hmm. occupies most of the time. But there are endless opportunities with this app, you know.
Well, and I like the way you all are interacting with the community and asking for suggestions as well.
Right, and mm-hmm. that's been a really rewarding experience already. As Eric mentioned, his tour was based on someone's suggestion. He, prior to that, was planning on doing Civil War monuments and Civil War history in Acadiana. Just perfectly worthwhile and really exciting topic. But then this one came around, and I guess you just saw that as having that much more kind of community hook to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. certainly, mm-hmm. certainly.
A lot of need for it as well. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about the UL Lafayette History Department's Public History Program and their new project called Acadiana Historical that they've actually been working on for a while, and they are in the process of rolling out the tours that are available through the website, through an app. Dr. Bob Carricker is head of the History Department, and he has three of his graduate students here. Claire Robbins working on plantation homes in the area, Eric Scott working on public art in Lafayette, and Annie Mahoney joined us. And Annie, I believe Dr. Carricker said you're working on cemeteries?
I am, yes.
Right.
I'm working on a historic cemeteries of Lafayette Parish tour.
And what drew you to the cemeteries? Was that a suggestion, or have you always been interested in the history of cemeteries?
I have been for a while. As an undergraduate, I was really interested in a cemetery in Baton Rouge called Sweet Olive, and I'm writing my thesis on it now. So I thought I'd expand that into our Acadiana historical and write a tour for it.
So which cemeteries have you chosen for this particular tour?
Okay. So I have 4 or 5 in Lafayette, and then I have 1 in Youngsville, 2 in Broussard, 2 in Cairn Crow. I've already uploaded the Jewish cemetery, the St. John Cathedral Cemetery, and right now I'm working on the Masonic Cemetery and St. Peter's Catholic Cemetery in Cairn Crow.
That's a lot of work. What now?
we drive them hard.
Yeah, yes, you do. So what do you do when you approach a cemetery? What are you choosing to put on the tour? What information are you looking for to put on this project?
Well, right now I started just by taking pictures. I'm having a little difficulty finding historic photographs of cemeteries, except in St. John's case because they have an extensive archives there. And then I try to find out when it was first started. I am going to include some information about people buried there because I think that would be interesting to people, and it's important to the history of a cemetery about, I guess, famous people in the community who are buried in the cemeteries. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And hopefully provide some context in the instance of the Masonic Cemetery. Want to provide some context on the conflict between the Catholic community and the Masonic organization in Lafayette. It's actually adjacent to the Protestant cemetery, and I really want to find out why the graves are oriented differently. They're right next to each other. They're not separated by anything. But in the Protestant cemetery, I actually don't know which way they're oriented, but they're catty corner? They're facing the other way in the Masonic cemetery. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the things we ever wanted to know about cemeteries, but we're afraid to ask.
But isn't this so neat? I mean, there's so many stories out there. There's so many components of our community that you want to know about.
The more you put these out, the more I can imagine people will be writing to you saying, hey, what about our cemetery? What about our public art?
And that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And when they're done, right, when Eric is done with public art, when Claire is done with plantation properties, and he's done with cemeteries, we're not done with any of those topics.
Right.
We can continue to add to them over time.
Right. And congratulations on the history program for drawing these young people from all over. And Annie, where are you from?
I'm from Baton Rouge.
You're from Baton Rouge. Okay, closest. But students coming from other states who are interested in Louisiana and for training them, for just helping us to understand so much more about our culture.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
Great work. Again, with me in the studio this afternoon, Dr. Bob Carricker, who is head of the History Department at UL Lafayette, as well as the director of the Public History Program. 3 of his graduate students, Claire Robbins, Eric Scott, and Annie Mahoney, who are all working on the Acadiana Historical Project. You can go to acadianahistorical.org and to see what they have up right now. Play around with it and perhaps even head out and go to some of these sites.
Right.
And there will be other tours being loaded onto the site monthly, I guess. And you'll have several coming up in a couple weeks.
That's right. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have 4 really comprehensive, exciting ones. And then next semester, we'll start working on the next round.
All right. And it's just in time for the holidays. You and your family can go out there and take these tours and find out more about our culture. And should anybody want to know more about the Public History Program, is there information on your website?
There is. You can get there by going to the History Department's webpage through, you know, ullafayette.edu. I guess it's louisiana.edu is the webpage. And then get to the History Department. They can certainly contact me, Dr. Carricker, at the History Department, and or through the Facebook interface for Acadiana Historical. It's been a really valuable way to, you know, interface with people.
And let people know what's rolling out, I'm sure.
Right.
So there's the website, acadianahistorical.org, where the tours will be in place.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sign up for the Facebook as well and find out when these are going to be loaded onto the site. Well, we look forward to perhaps having you all back in the springtime and hear more about your work and how people have responded to it.
That'd be great.
What kind of feedback you've gotten for the cemetery tour, the public art tour, and the plantation tour. Well, thank you all, and you all are getting a great experience here, and we're all profiting from that.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your vision and all the energy that you put into this program.
Well, thanks for having us. It's really great.
As you mentioned, we'll be talking with Dr. Troutman in a couple weeks about Museum on the Move.
That is super exciting as well. Right. The department has purchased a vintage Airstream trailer, and students, actually, all three of you, these same students are also working on that project. They're converting it into a history museum.
So you're on all platforms. You're on a virtual platform,
right.
And you're actually going out on wheels into the community. So an amazing program. That is the Public History Program here at UL Lafayette. It's a part of the History Department, and these graduate students are being so well trained. And we appreciate your work, and again, we look forward to having you all back. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.